It is with great pleasure to have the opportunity to introduce our next speaker for the morning. Dr. Jennifer Plitcha is an assistant professor of surgery in the Division of Surgical Oncology in the Section of Breast Surgery at Duke Cancer Institute. She's currently the director of the Risk Assessment Clinic. She received her BA at DePauw University, her MD at Indiana University School of Medicine, and then did her general surgery residency at Loyola. She also received an MS degree at Loyola in 2012. She did her fellowship at the Mass General Brigham and Women's Hospital. It is a great honor to have Dr. Plitcha here today for us to discuss the psychosocial effects of contralateral prophylactic mastectomy.
Thank you for the opportunity to present this topic today. It's a very fascinating topic, and I'm sure all of us as surgeons have had some very interesting discussions with our patients when it comes to contralateral prophylactic mastectomies. And today we're going to just dive into some of those conversations that undoubtedly many of us have had. Today I'm going to be talking about the psychosocial effects of contralateral prophylactic mastectomies. I have no related disclosures to this presentation. As previous speakers have already discussed, there's obviously an increasing trend for CPM in many of our women today. Most women who have a unilateral, non-hereditary breast cancer at a typical age of a breast cancer patient, we don't typically see a survival benefit. However, we do see increased rates of complications and increased reoperation rates. So then why are women choosing to have CPMs? As many have alluded to prior to my presentation, it could be out of fear of recurrence, second breast cancers, or death. Some do it for peace of mind, hoping to live a longer, healthier life. Some women do it for a sense of control, one of the few things that they can control when they've been diagnosed with breast cancer. And of course, some women do it for symmetry reasons in order to obtain a certain reconstructive outcome. However, fear is usually the most common reason cited in various forms by most women who choose to undergo a CPM. This study was a SEER survey that was performed about 7 months after surgery, included about 2,500 women with a 71% response rate. And in this population, about 25% of respondents said that they strongly or very strongly considered a CPM, and another 29% stated a moderate or weak consideration of CPM. Within this population, factors that those who responded most valued at the time of decision was, again, this fear. Avoid worry about recurrence was stated by 82%. Another 73% were hoping to reduce a need for more surgery. This particular study was a prospective study looking at women with unilateral, non-hereditary breast cancer, included about a little under 300 patients. However, questions and questionnaires for this study were sent before surgery and at various time points postoperatively. Before surgery, CPM, compared to those who did not undergo a CPM, was associated with patients who had an increased cancer distress, increased cancer worry, and body image concerns. When looking specifically at the CPM group, their pre-surgery cancer worry was certainly higher than women who did not eventually undergo a CPM. However, postoperatively, there was actually similar cancer worry between both groups, those who did and did not undergo a CPM. Quality of life was similar between those who did and did not undergo CPM. However, quality of life was found to be decreased in those who eventually chose to undergo CPM, and it remained lower than those who did not undergo CPM in subsequent follow-up time points. This particular study was a single institution, again, prospective observational study, looking at women with unilateral breast cancer who underwent mastectomy with reconstruction. Surveys were given pre-op and at 1 year, and these, again, were patient-reported outcomes, included about 1,100 women. About half underwent bilateral mastectomy, and the other underwent unilateral mastectomies. For women who underwent bilateral mastectomies with implant-based reconstruction, they were found to have an increased rate of baseline anxiety. However, again, similar to prior study, there was no difference in anxiety in the postoperative setting. However, postoperatively, those who underwent CPM with implant-based reconstruction did report an increased breast satisfaction compared to those women who underwent unilateral reconstruction, suggesting that perhaps having the symmetry and related to reconstruction may be a reason why some women would prefer to have a CPM. In this particular study, there were 580 women who were diagnosed with breast cancer between 1979 and 1999, some who underwent CPM and some who did not. There was about a 76% response rate to the survey that was sent out. 86.5% of CPM patients were indeed satisfied still with their decision. However, there was a high quality of life contentment for all patients, including those who did and did not undergo CPM. As you can see, 76% in CPM group versus 75% in those who did not undergo a CPM. Interestingly, a lower quality of life contentment was not associated with CPM. This particular study led by Dr. Wang was an Army of Women survey using BreastQ, which included about 7,600 women. Of those, about 1,600 of them had undergone a CPM, and those patients were typically a little younger than the average population of the Army of Women survey responders. When looking specifically at the CPM group compared to those who underwent a unilateral mastectomy, again, they found an increased rate of breast satisfaction and increased psychosocial well-being. However, you can see that the p-values here are just barely reaching significance, suggesting that perhaps the clinical significance of this is still debatable. All other quality of life domains in this particular study were similar between those who underwent CPM and those who did not. Women with unilateral breast cancer who underwent CPM between 1960 and 1993 underwent longer-term questionnaires in this particular study at two time points. The mean time point of the first questionnaire was at 10 years, and the second was at 20. And this particular study included only women who had filled out both questionnaires at both time points. Again, similar to other studies, we see a high degree of satisfaction. 90% were satisfied with their choice, and 92% would choose a CPM again. And 93% of them did feel that they had made an informed decision at the time of their surgery. However, many of them reported some adverse effects, including 31% adversely affected body appearance, 24% feelings of femininity, and 23% adversely affected their sexual relationships. In this particular study, the sister study survey included women who had both a personal and a family history of breast cancer, included women who underwent all different types of surgery, and the survey response was averaged about 3.6 years after their diagnosis. Again, high degree of satisfaction in this population, 97% happy with their CPM decision and 89% with their unilateral mastectomy decision. CPM, however, was associated with a lower body image, and it was lowest for women who underwent CPM without reconstruction. Given all of these findings, it leads us to wonder, why are women choosing to have CPM when it decreases and adversely affects so many different things? It could be that maybe we're looking at things differently than our patients. Perhaps we're considering something that we feel is important as their surgeon, and patients don't necessarily have the same values as us, and the reasons they choose to have a CPM are different than maybe why we realize. This led us to another study, thinking that maybe we need a deeper understanding of why patients are making these decisions. So we opted to perform a qualitative study instead of some of these surveys that we've seen previously. Through this study, we were hoping to look at patient perspective on why they chose to have CPM and how that decision affected them personally. We used an open-ended methodology to allow for a more comprehensive exploration of some of these complex issues. The title of the study was Reframing the Conversation About Contralateral Prophylactic Mastectomy, Preparing Women for Post-Surgical Realities, and it was led by Dr. Diane Bloom at UNC. The methodology included women who had unilateral early-stage breast cancer with a low genetic risk, and this survey, or telephone interview rather, was performed about 1 to 10 years postoperatively. It was a qualitative study, so thus included about 45 in-depth telephone interviews between January and June 2017. It was a semi-structured topic guide, meaning that it included the same group of core questions for all patients, but then allowed further probing of topics where the patient seemed to be willing to divulge more information. All conversations were recorded and then coded using NVivo. The study population included women with a median age of 45, ranging from 22 to 72 years old. The majority of women were within 1 to 2 years of their CPM. It also included majority of women being white race, married, having a higher income, and higher education, which is similar to other studies that have looked at women who've had CPM. 49% of women in this study had stage 2 breast cancer, and the remaining had stage 0 or stage 1. 86% elected to go reconstruction, and over half of them underwent tissue expander as their first step part of their reconstruction. Prior to surgery, women identified several pros and cons to having a CPM. In their mind, the pros included things like peace of mind, reduced cancer risk, not having to have any more mammograms, potentially reduced anxiety, avoiding radiation. They thought reconstruction might be straightforward, and their new breasts would hopefully be the same as their original. The only cons that they identified preoperatively included maybe a longer recovery and the numbness that was inevitable. After these in-depth telephone interviews, there were many themes that were identified, and so now I'm going to take some time to go through those themes that we identified and then provide some quotes along the way that women provided to us regarding these different topics. One of the interesting themes that developed was that despite understanding the low probability of a contralateral breast cancer, most feared that having already been a statistical anomaly once, they could be unlucky again. One woman was quoted as saying, "My surgeon told me that I was unlucky to ever get cancer in my other breast, that my odds were less than 5%, but that didn't matter. Even if he said 1%, it wouldn't have mattered because it would still be a chance. I was already a statistic and could be again, and I never wanted to go through another bout of breast cancer." Another theme that developed was this regrets prevention. It was key to many women in making their decision. One woman was quoted as saying, "I needed to do everything I could for peace of mind, because if I have a recurrence, I need to absolutely not say to myself, if only I had had the double mastectomy." Another theme that was observed is they wanted to do everything possible to reduce their risk of another breast cancer. One woman stated, "I wanted to be aggressive. I have no risk factors. I was BRCA negative. I have no family history. I breastfed my three children practically until they went to college. And I'm like, how the hell did I get this? Right out of nowhere. I didn't want to receive that second diagnosis, so I'm doing whatever it is in my power. If it happens, then it was meant to be." Another theme that we discovered was that 82% of women that we spoke to never found the peace of mind that they were looking for. One woman reported, "My anxiety has switched to fears of it becoming metastatic. That's what keeps me up at night. I'm doing everything I can, but that fear will stick with me forever." Similarly, 89% of women felt that their reconstruction was disappointing. One woman stated, "I couldn't help thinking, this is the last step. I'm going to wake up and be thrilled with my body. I'll be whole again." But then you wake up and you're not thrilled with your body because it's not your body and it will never be your body. They are literally creating something on your chest. Another theme that we kind of expected was that the numbness was there. However, it was worse than imagined for many women. One woman stated, "My surgeon told me that I wouldn't have any feeling in my chest, but at the time I thought, well, that's better than the cancer. Now I'm completely numb. You could have a gaping wound, but you wouldn't know. But when you're going through this, it's all about the cancer. I was like, really? I won't have sensation in half my body? Okay, whatever." Another theme that some women identified is that it took a toll on their self-image as a woman. One woman told us, "Afterwards, I felt less than a woman, like there was something missing. I felt more like a boy with nothing feminine. I had reconstruction, but I'm modest about my implants. We never touch them, and the shirt never comes off." Of course, then, this led other women to say that it took a significant toll on their sexual intimacy with their spouses. This woman said, "I'm completely numb. I feel no pleasure during sex. Now sex is more about him than me. It's like it's been a month. Poor guy. I should make him feel wanted. Now sex is like the polar plunge. You don't want to jump into the cold water, but once you do, it's not so bad, and you get used to it." The next theme that emerged was that women assumed their recovery would be more difficult for the first year, but afterwards, life would return to normal. For almost all, this was not the case. This woman stated, "I thought, I'm going to go through this, and then I'm going to get to exactly who I was 2 weeks before I got diagnosed. I'd been perfect in health, and I was having my happy, enjoyable life. So I thought, I have this year to get through, and then I'm going to go right back through the time machine straight to that. But now I realize that absolutely wasn't realistic." Lastly, despite all of these negative statements and outcomes, 41 out of 45 women that we spoke with would make the same decision again. One woman stated, "I would do it again because otherwise my breasts wouldn't match years down the road. So I wouldn't do it for peace of mind again because I realized that there is no peace of mind." When comparing those pre-surgical perceptions and expectations to the post-surgical realities, you can see that there were quite a few differences. Many anticipated benefits of CPM never materialized, and some experienced unanticipated life-altering sequelae. The majority felt blindsided by unexpected emotional aspects, and some even suggested that maybe pre-decision counseling may have helped. The women reported feeling confident in their choice of CPM at the time that they made the decision, but many could not recall knowing about the potential long-term harms or underestimated their impact. As you can see, they still identified no more mammograms, no radiation, and knowing they did everything as benefits of having this surgery. However, the con list got much longer. Many of them did not find peace of mind, found reconstruction to be difficult, their new breasts never became a part of their sexual identity, numbness was worse than expected and resulted in a loss of an erogenous zone, life never returned to normal, and it had negative impacts on self-confidence, femininity, and intimacy. Interestingly, contrary to prediction that if women were educated enough, they would decline CPM, these women felt they were well aware of their low risk of a contralateral breast cancer, but would make the same decision again. They were unconvinced by statistics because they felt they had been unlucky once already. As surgeons, I think that it's important that we focus on providing data, but we also need to do a better job of preparing patients for the aftermath of surgery. Survivorship issues are going to be important. We need to provide the data, but let patients decide. After all, many female surgeons with breast cancer would make the exact same choice. I think because of this, we really need to consider asking patients whether they would like to be referred to a counselor to help with decision making, and we need to start emphasizing the patient experience of the emotional and physical trade-offs rather than focusing on the statistics alone. Thank you.